Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, and I'm ready to go, Jeffrey! Merry 2020 to you. To you and yours. This is the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast. This is, let's see, 2020. Carry the three. I want to say this is technically the third year. I want to say we started in 2018. Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
Okay, 2018, 2019, and now 2020. So January 2nd, 2020, the new decade is upon us, Jeff. And, of course, get rid of your last decade's worries and trials and tribulations and start anew with us after what seems like a five-week break. We are back just in time for, of course, the NFL playoffs and a post-Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa episode. Jeff, how are you? And how were your holiday festivities?
Well, I mean, my festivities were Moss. I mean, that's all I can say. They were outstanding. I was living Moss through MAS. Like, I live Moss throughout them. No, they were great. Good time spent with family and friends, at least the Christmas holidays. New Year's was a little underwhelming. Had some time with Kellen. Shay had to work the old night shift, so me and the boy just hanging out, popping bottles of champagne. You know how it is. But you know, as we've gotten older, I feel like New Year's has kind of died down a little bit. It's, you know, a time to, if you can, go out and have fun. But if you can't, you know, just get together with the ones you love and just bring on the new year. That being said, Will, hot debate question to start off the new year. Want to get your take on how big, or if at all big of a douche move this is. So, as you may or may not have seen, a lot of talk of bringing in the new decade, all this new decade talk, like going from here I was in 2010, here I am in 2020, a lot of that, a lot of hot decade talk. My coworker was telling me that his brother-in-law, who's like this super nerdy engineer guy, is actively going around.
I already know where this is going.
But when people say that, he says, if you didn't know, it's technically not the new decade because decades start in one and go to zero. So this is the last year of the decade. So all this new decade celebration really needs to calm down.
I hope, first of all, I hope that's his voice. And second, if you're grading on a douche or no douche scale, I mean, you're talking upper echelon, I mean, highest quality that you get, top shelf CVS douche, I believe. That's how high level we're going there with that. I didn't want to interrupt you because I felt like you were going there, and the second the story kept going on, and I was like, this is where it's going. This is exact. Count on your fingers. Do you start with zero? No, you don't. I get it. But yeah. Yes, I mean, are you going to really ruin 2.8 billion people's worth of fun? I mean, come on, just
exactly.
It's 2-0. Do you want to be like what? Do you want to get a technical here and be like, it's the new numeric decade? How about that? It starts with a two. All right.
We had a whole celebration at work on, you know, Taco Bell over the past decade, and I could just imagine this guy, if he worked here, raising his hand. It's technically not the new decade, so what exactly are we celebrating here?
I have a question. So yes, very douchey. Congrats on that guy, though, for his New Year's kiss. I'm sure he didn't get. Although you did say it was someone's brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean anything. That does not mean anything at all. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a new decade, Jeff. And with a new decade comes new trips and adventures, which, alas, brings me to the big question, which has been a month and a half long debate, because tomorrow, January 3rd, Muffin and I are setting a deadline. Vegas.
Okay.
Give me the update. There are dozens of people, and don't give me the, you know, it's still the same. There's got to be an ounce of update. 0.1% up.
0.1%
down.
I mean, there's definitely update, just not in the right direction. We're trending towards the no, okay, as of right now. Unfortunately, for reasons we'll get to after the pod in a more intimate setting. I don't want the dozens of listeners to think, you know, trouble is afoot, but let's just say we've moved below the 50-50 mark. That's all I'll say.
All right, 49%, all good. Still got it.
But what is this? Tell me more about this implied, deadline, because I will be seeing the boys, and I will, if nothing, be harping on this now.
I think Muffin and I have just come to the conclusion that if no one's going to respond to our text messages asking over and over again if anyone is really trying to come, then we're just going to give a dead set deadline tomorrow, which of course is my birthday. And the reason for the deadline is I want to book the Saw Escape Room, and it's a hot commodity.
Yeah.
It's a hot commodity. Wow. And if I keep waiting for, you know, the people the day before, I don't think we're gonna get in there. But alas, it's no big deal. I'll set it and I'll forget it, and we'll see what happens. If not, just Muffin and Will and possibly Tommy Bill might be joining in the ruckus.
That'll be quite the Vegas experience.
You know, he is probably a no as well. He's probably got a lesser chance than C-Ball to come, which, by the way, C-Ball is in the mention now, just trying to get him to come because we know he'll be a riot. But that's the update on ours. Just, you know, a little soft deadline, January 3rd.
Okay. So I will be seeing at least Scotty, if not Scotty and Armas tomorrow. So I will impress this deadline upon them.
So you said New Year's is kind of, you know, bleh. And I agree 100%. I worked until 4 a.m.
Tell me about this. I was confused by your text. What were your actual hours? Was it 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.?
No,
I
started at 6 a.m. Because we serve every basketball team, and there was a basketball game that night on New Year's Eve. So we served the Boston Celtics. Quite a delight. Very nice team. In fact, we're not allowed to do this, but just let me just say in general, every team is very nice. There's been one team that has not been, but we don't need to get into details. But for the most part, I'm telling you, all these players, very cool, like very polite and respectful, even, you know, some of the ones you think wouldn't be. So that's that time. But anyway, 6 a.m., call time to do their breakfast and lunch. Thankfully, had a nice little break in between from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then when I got back at 6 p.m., it was there till 4 a.m. So there you go. That was my day.
Do you feel yourself being less and less starstruck? I mean, you're at these events, you're at these breakfasts with NBA players, and you're like, man, there's – insert name a famous NBA player, and you're like, yes, you're very nice, you're a normal person.
Sometimes I think it just depends, because I still haven't served someone like LeBron yet, you know, for instance, so that is a whole another world. I still, being the Hornets, they play a bunch of crappy teams, so I mean, let's be real, they play in the Eastern Conference, who don't have a ton of stars. Giannis hasn't come by yet. I will be next week. We will be serving the Masked Singer runner-up Victor Oladipo at some point. I will definitely try to get a word in with him and be like, "What up? What up? Thingamajig."
Wow.
Yeah, La Reveal, by the way. Don't get me started on that show. By the way, I'm really.
You called it. Long con. Is the show dead at this point?
Oh, like, it's over. Chris Daughtry was the Rottweiler. Wayne Brady was the winner. I mean, come on.
Wow. If he didn't win, he would have to choke someone.
This is true. I was waiting for that kind of reference to make a clue. But just 10 seconds. So they never, ever, 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 ever guessed Victor Oladipo. Barely even gotten – like sometimes they would guess some random NBA player. But of course what? So the last show, Ken Jeong is all of a sudden a master. And he's like, you know what? He's like – he just goes like, oh, I've heard – NBA players talk about this certain player, and he's a really good singer, so I'm going with Victor Oladipo. I'm like, what? Like, no, you can't just randomly say that. Like, there is some producer or some fakeness, some chicanery going on with that. Anyway, so once, you know, he comes, I'll kind of probably try to make a mention of that. But no, still haven't been super kind of like out of my, you know, element with the starstruckness yet. But I still haven't seen any super, like, VIPs yet, and it's gonna get kind of crazy, I guess. Next year we're getting the RNC, so that's the Republican National Convention for everybody, so be on high alert for that one. Can't wait for those.
How is Patti LaBelle feeling about her scene chops after she got dunked on by Victor Oladipo here? I mean, Seal, wow, yeah, really? A fourth place finish, get out of here, my friend.
It says a lot. I mean, at least, well, that's the thing. I really wanted Victor Oladipo to win just to be like, wow, he beat Chris Daughtry, he beat Wayne Brady, he beat Patti LaBelle, like, and so on and so forth. That's why I really wanted him to win. Seal coming in fourth, I mean, very interesting, just vocal and song choices by him. And he's just a very, very strange man when he was talking and stuff. But, Patti LaBelle, these people, they have their time, right? It's the 1950s or whatever. You know, we should be proud about what they did. So that's what I did on New Year's, though. Worked till 4 a.m., so I know my hours were, you were a little confused. Go ahead and clear that up. But I want to say I didn't care. Wasn't going to go out anyway. And when I was driving, like, Uber or Lyft or whatever this morning, people were asking me, like, oh, what'd you do? Did you drive? And I'm like, no, I worked, and I didn't really care either. And they were like, yeah, me neither. So when you see, like, the Snapchats and the Instagrams of people, you're just like, eh, you know, I'd rather be out for a different holiday, I think. And plus, I mean, it's so tiring to stay up that late, like, just to watch some trite, mundane ball dropping with, now it's Steve Harvey. I mean, come on, guys, can we do a little bit better?
Oh, wow.
No offense to the Family Feud.
Wow. Bunsen burner blowtorch idea for Steve Harvey. Come back to us. Yeah, we'll save that for the New Year's Eve, you know, ball drop in review pod, I guess. Well, but yeah. Tell me more about, you know, obviously this is the time of year where a new accoutrement are acquired. PlayStation VR. Tell me about it. Tell me about your virtual world that you've been living in here.
All right, PlayStation VR. Okay, Jeffrey. Let's see.
Why do dogs not, like, why do they stare at you when they go to the bathroom?
I've thought about that for a while. I kind of want to call in to, like, the Libertard Show and ask Rob McGill that and be like, so my dog takes a poop and he just stares at me with this disgust. Or not even disgust, it's like the puppy dog eyes, ears behind, like, they're down. It's very, like, you know, they're, like, ashamed, I guess. Like, can I get some privacy? All right, anyway. Jeff, PlayStation VR is pretty damn cool.
Wow.
So I wasn't really in it to win it when it first came. I mean, it's been out for a couple years now. You know, the virtual reality thing kind of came and just, like, I thought it was going to peter out and die. But I guess 2 or 3 years later now, it's like, it's kind of like regaining steam. So I kind of, like, you know, I did my research and asked Santa for Christmas, and lo and behold, she gave it to me. And dude, it's pretty intense. I haven't played anything like mind blowing yet, but I have been playing some fun games, like, this game called Trover Saves the Universe, which is made by the Rick and Morty people.
Hmm.
It's pretty much Rick and Morty, the video game. All the voices are literally Rick and Morty, but just like aliens. And, I mean, it's, oh yeah. And by the way, speaking of virtual reality, if Gucci sees me on it, he won't stop barking. 'Cause he's like, who is this crazy man? So I don't really ever get to play it unless Ashley's home, because if I play and he's here and he just sees me playing it, it's like, it kind of ruins the experience, not gonna lie. But it's really cool, man. You can turn your head literally around in a circle, like, and you just see stuff behind you. You definitely, it's definitely something you have to try for yourself, or else you just, you know, you watch videos and you're like, ah, okay, it looks fine. But I'm all in, man. I'm back.
Oh, wow, back in the VR world.
Yeah, never petered out.
No, like, nausea or anything from it. I've heard reports.
Yes.
That you can't get
so,
nauseous.
I heard that too. So there is, like, one instance in this game. It's like, so you're like a paraplegic, or no, not paraplegic. You can't walk. What's that? Paralyzed. I don't know. You just can't walk. You're in a chair. You're like this human that just can't walk, so this alien walks for you. So you can go, like, you get this, I don't know, ability where you can just, like, raise your chair up in the sky, like 10 feet or 20 feet, whatever. So you hit its button, and you just go straight up in the air, and you can look under you. And that's kind of weird, because you see feet dangling, and obviously it's not your feet, but it kind of feels like it. So you can kind of get a little glimpse of it there. And then there was this racing game that I just played that, you know, they have a bunch of free demos you can play. And there was this racing game where I was playing where you're not in the car, but you're like above the car.
Okay.
So you're watching the, you know, like street by you as you're not physically moving. So that was kind of part of it too.
Interesting.
But I haven't tried any of the intense games like Beat Saber or anything like that yet.
Okay.
But I can't. Gucci. You need
Beat Saber.
Yeah. I think Kurt's played it. Master of video games. I think he's played it before as well.
Yes. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it.
I want to just touch
Speaking
on
of
one,
driving.
One, yeah, real, this is me super quick. So I just finally started driving for both Uber and Lyft. Like for a while I was just doing Lyft. They've done a bunch of weird stuff and like they don't even have like what's it called? Like surges anymore really. Like they don't. It's just like
really?
Yeah, it's very weird. They just do like zone whatever, it doesn't matter. So I started doing Uber just the last couple of days, so nothing like a long time or anything. And I've just noticed that the people who want to ride Uber are a lot nicer. It's very weird. Yes. I have a very small sample size. I don't know if I want to call it more people are more trusting or whatever. So like for example, I've given probably like 100, I don't know how many, 100 or 150 Lyft rides.
Yeah.
I can probably count on one hand the amount of single white women I've driven, you know, like by themselves, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Today alone, I had two different ones. Like, I've already done an Uber. So, like, I've already done half of my entire Lyft, like, lifetime supply of single white women.
Yeah.
And just, I did it in one afternoon. Yeah, so I've just noted, I was like, oh, wow, okay. This is maybe. And I'm thinking, like, you know, like, we're getting into the part where, like, you know, Kleenex isn't Kleenex, cause that's a brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people say they're going to Uber somewhere. It's getting to that point when, like, well, technically, like, you're using Lyft. You know what I mean? So it's getting to that point where people are just saying Uber, and Uber is becoming the verb. So, like, my mom uses Uber because that's all she knows. You know what I mean? So I feel like that maybe that's why Uber is kind of, like, bigger and just more, even if it's more expensive, because Lyft is, like, what, a dollar cheaper half the time? Yeah, it's just something I've noticed casually in
the
ride-sharing game.
I always found that the Uber passenger tended to be a little bit more savvy in that I feel like the percentage of time where I would get a call saying, this is where I am, like, do this to pick me up. Like, they kind of knew. They were just – it felt like they had used it a little bit more. Whereas Lyft, sometimes it would be like, oh, I'm doing this for the first time. Like, I have – where are you? Where am I? Like, okay.
Yeah. I will say this. The Lyft app is a lot easier to use so far.
Yes.
Yeah, Uber app, for some reason, you have to, like, swipe and stuff. And I'm like, what? I'm driving. How am I supposed to swipe my – anyway, I digress.
Takes a little bit. Yeah. Once I get used to it.
All right, let's get into the NFL, like, playoffs and stuff really quick. But I am watching a rerun of a game. And I want you to tell me who you think won this game.
All right.
So NFL Network is replaying the Chiefs-Titans game from Week 10. It was, like, November something. The Titans were 4-5, and the Chiefs were 6-3. It is in Tennessee. Mm. Who won that game?
Well, I think just based on the question and you bringing it up as kind of like a question, I'm going to say the Titans.
You're right about that. Now, okay, now, of course, this was the Chiefs. They've been hurt all year. Who was their quarterback, though?
Well, for the Chiefs?
Mm-hmm. Remember, Mahomes missed, like, what, two and a half games?
Did he play that game?
Yes, he did. He was the quarterback for the Chiefs.
Wow.
Yeah, but no, the real one was Tyreek Hill. He also played in that game, so I've got you there. And then the Titans, who was their quarterback for this game? This might be the kicker.
I have no idea.
It was Tannehill. So pretty much it was both teams at full strength, as they're going to be in the playoffs, and the Titans won 35-32. Derrick Henry had 190-something yards, including like a 50-yard just – I mean, I don't know why I'm liking Derrick. I mean, Derrick Henry, whew, Maron. falling in love with that
Khalif Raymond. Oh my.
Oh, Khalif
Big
Raymond
game
is
for
awesome.
him.
Yeah. So they, I did not know this, that they beat the Chiefs. Granted, it was by 3 points, but they were, both teams were full strength for the most part. So I don't know if this does anything for you going into the playoffs, but definitely, I knew they won. They won some good games. They went on a bit of a hot streak. But Tannehill kind of changed the atmosphere for that team. But I just thought it was very interesting. I had no idea that they won this game as I was looking up, like, you know, the box score and everything like that as it was on the NFL Network replay. How about that?
Interesting. Well, interesting. I mean, they are feisty. Titans are feisty.
They are feisty. I'm so happy we're saying that now. So, Jeff, I posted a bunch of predictions, kind of like predictions, and then also not the full over-unders for the NFL teams going into this season, but we, on our Google Doc, we posted, like, the 7 or 8 teams that we thought the over-under could be way off on. And, well, we weren't that good on it. We got a couple. Like, there's, like, 2 on here that I think we were right about. But just to kind of speak through this, we thought the Browns over-under of 9 was definitely not right, and they finished with 6. We thought the Packers over-under of 9 was not right, and they finished with 13. So I think 2 good calls so far on that. After that, though, you thought that, I think, I'm assuming you thought the Falcons would win more than 8.
Yes, I thought they would go over.
Yep, they finished with 7. And then the Seahawks, we thought 8.5 was a little wonky, 11. So, okay, all right, good on us. Cardinals, over-under was 4. They finished with 5. But, I mean, I could say they're better than they were, you know, they were also kind of feisty.
Another feisty team.
Yeah, not a great defense, but
No.
You know, got some opportunity there, of course, with their star player, Kenyon Drake. Buccaneers, I thought, would win more than 6.5, and technically they did. They finished with 7, though. I thought they'd finish maybe 9-7, or maybe get 10 wins. Although their offense was quite amazing and quite fun to watch. What do you think? Any other teams on top of your head? Just, it's kind of hard to, without me writing the over-unders, but... Do any of these teams stand out to you, like, that you kind of saw coming? Maybe the Packers, the Falcons. Anything surprise you out of these teams?
Well, I think the Browns was the easiest one. I think going, you know, we thought 9 wins was pretty audacious, at least for a line. I mean, the Seahawks, it's kind of interesting. They're like the team of close wins, right? Mm-hmm. So it seems like 8.5 was probably a really good line for them. And then the Buccaneers, I mean, 6.5 seemed about right, I guess, kind of coming into the year. But that offense was pretty crazy. And I've just been loving the Bruce Arians trawling of Jameis Winston and Jameis Winston, you know, his expectations of himself and what he thinks he's going to pull in. He's balling. I mean, in one way, yes.
It's funny you say that the Browns thing, because if you look at our predictions right under these, you had the Browns winning the AFC North, so I guess you thought maybe 9-7 would win that division. You definitely thought 9 was just audacious, but you picked the Browns to win the AFC North.
What a weird division. I mean, just on so many storylines.
None of us had
every
the
Ravens, team,
of course. But I had the Steelers. Granted, that injury definitely for Ben Roethlisberger changed the whole outlook, but I don't think if Ben plays the whole year that they're really that much better than they were. James Conner was there. All everyone else got hurt on that team as well.
Yeah.
So I can't really say that Ben was going to totally change the outlook of the season, but maybe it, you know, can't really say anything there. I said,
well,
the
defense was great.
Yeah. Defense was really good. Pretty much same, everything all around the AFC. We both had the Patriots, Chiefs, Texans. So those three were pretty chalky. I thought the Browns, not only would I thought they'd be in the wild card, I thought they'd go to the Super Bowl. So I had Browns and Chargers as my wild cards. NFC, I had Falcons, Vikings, Cowboys, and Seahawks with Packers and Saints as my wild cards. So only missed on – oh, wait, never mind. I missed on 2 of those teams, Falcons and the Cowboys. Go over your wild card picks, then also your NFC picks. And where did you go wrong, Jeffrey? Because I don't think you did.
I mean, I turned a little bit. I'd say in the AFC, you got the Pats, Chiefs, and Texans, and then kind of whiffed, as we spoke about, on the AFC North. Picked the Browns to win, the Steelers in the wild card, and then the Chargers. Oh, now the number 6 pick overall, the Chargers. Then the wild card, how mighty I've fallen. I thought that the Ravens would be worse. And then I had the Dark Horse Broncos, which didn't work out. I mean, the Drew Lock experience. Get ready for a full year of that. NFC went stupid, picked the Cowboys. And then I had the Rams. Those were the bad ones. And then I had – oh, and the Falcons were also a bad one for the wild card. Vikings, I had winning the division, but they didn't. The Packers I did have in the wild card, and the Saints. But – I did list almost every other team out in the NFC.
I do
so
remember that.
Said the Eagles and Seahawks would be spicy. So
it's a fact. You also said the Bears and the Panthers. Only out those two.
I mean, who knows what happens if Cam Newton doesn't go down? Who knows what happens? And the Bears, I mean, they're awful. I don't know why I did that. I thought the defense would be good. I guess they were kind of old-timey last year, so. Super Bowl picks, though.
Someone's still alive.
William, I am still alive. I had the Chiefs and the Saints as my Super Bowl picks, and I am loving that. If we get into some, what is it, the playoff challenge? Talk to Mike Ansel, get the Little League connections hooked up. I mean, I'm going all in on Chiefs and Saints.
I mean, that would have been a pretty good. Not that you would have gotten great odds on it, but they do have. You know, those Super Bowl matchup bets that you could have totally placed at the beginning of the season. That had to at least be like a 15-1 just because it's early in the season. I had, like I mentioned earlier, Browns, Cowboys. Update on the Chiefs Titans game that I mentioned earlier. Minute 40 left in the fourth quarter. Chiefs up by 5. Titans went for it on fourth down and missed it. So I'm not sure what's happening here how the Titans win this game, so I'll keep you up to date. There's a minute and 36 seconds left now. Chiefs still have the ball. They're up by 5, and they're in the Titans' territory at, like, the 25-yard line. So is there, like, a missed field goal here? Is there a fumble? Stay tuned. Play-by-play of a game from 2.5 months ago. Stay tuned. Oh, wait. A month ago.
Wait, we already know the outcome.
We do. Well, I'm curious to see how we get to this outcome. So that's, that was our picks. Not great by me, but good job by you, Jeff. But I'm excited for this probably every year. Oh, I'm so excited for these playoffs. But this first round is usually the laugher round. Usually you get a Bills that doesn't deserve to be in the game. You get a Bears, you get these teams that kind of sneak into the playoffs. But I think all these games, including the best Saturday night one I think we've ever seen. Ever, and it includes the Titans and the Patriots playing, starting off a new decade, Mr. Jeffrey, brother-in-law's friend, whoever that guy is, a new decade with the Patriots playing in the wild card round. Unbelievable. Bills, Texans, Titans, Patriots, Vikings, Saints, Seahawks, Eagles. I've listed all the over-unders. I've listed all the favorites and underdogs. Which one are you looking forward to the most, Jeff?
I think looking forward to the most, it has got to be that Titans-Pats game. I think there's a lot of different subplots and storylines to it. Obviously, this is a Titans team kind of on the upswing, and the Pats kind of, you know, gradual decline, some might say. I think the Titans have kind of a surging offense, so it'll be a little strength on strength going up against the Pats defense. But I think the Titans defense can be frisky. They can put it together maybe to quell the Pats. You see a pretty low over-under at 44 points. And the Titans going into Foxborough, I mean, it's always a tough place to play, especially in January. So there's a lot of intrigue there. I mean, I like the Vikings-Saints game, but I just think the Saints are just – bigger class, and the Bills Texans doesn't do a lot for me, and Seahawks Eagles again. These are the two teams where it's kind of like I don't think they're going very far in the playoffs, so it'll be interesting.
Update on the Titans Chiefs game. I do not remember this happening at all. Chiefs go to attempt like a 40-yard field goal, and the bad snap happens, and the holder. So bad snap. I think they snapped. Yeah, looks. They're showing the replay. Snap was off, like not on the right snap count. So the holder just picks up and just throws it. Like instead of taking a sack, just throws it to nobody. So then they get intentional grounding. So now it's 15 yards for the Titans, and they get the ball back. You know, obviously because of missed field goal and all that stuff. So, well, I feel like you know that would. I definitely don't remember that happening at all. I'm not sure what I was doing. At this moment in time, but interesting turn of events here. I'll keep you posted. Titans, Pats, super excited about. Bills, Texans. I'm excited for the fact that the Texans actually do something on this Saturday morning Shakey's game of the week, where they put the two most boring teams on Saturday morning for ESPN to have. I want an exciting game. I don't really care who wins. I'm rooting for both teams. If I really wanted one to win, I would want the Texans just because I really like Deshaun Watson, but I would not be opposed to either one winning. Titans Patriots definitely gonna have my eyeballs. I'm super excited. I'm hesitant to really pick the Titans plus 4.5. I just think it's like the Godfather, you know, right when you think you're out on the Patriots, they're gonna do one last thing to get you back in. And the next year will be Godfather 3. We won't have to worry about it. But I really think they're gonna try to get us in, and man, it's gonna hurt me to pick the Titans because I really want them to win. And I think they do have it. I think, like, as much as we hate to say it, Derrick Henry has been just unbelievable this year, and Tannehill has just breathed a sigh of relief into this exotic smash mouth football. I hear what you're saying about Vikings and Saints. I think the Vikings at least have talent. I'm granted, can Kirk Cousins do it in the postseason in a big game? I don't know. And the Eagles won, at least they're home. It'd be different if the Eagles traveled to Seattle, and you'd be like, okay, let's take it easy here. But the Eagles are home. They had a hot streak against the three worst teams in the NFC. Fine, good for you. Can the Seahawks kind of rebound? And maybe we'll get some more Marshawn Lynch Skittles thrown everywhere. You never know.
Yep. I mean, the Seahawks are – I mean, this should just be called the injury bowl. The amount of injuries sustained by both teams is going to be crazy to see who these teams are trotting out. But, you know, it's – I know that we didn't put this on there, Will, as a – I know I had teased it as a topic to you, but annoying fan bases, this matchup, it's up there. It's up there in a matchup of two very annoying fan bases.
I mean, I'd call the Eagles way more. If it were to me, it's the Eagles are way more annoying with fan base than the Seahawks.
Oh, I mean, I guess I've met two separate people who in conversations refer both to themselves and the team as the 12. Ooh. And that really annoyed me. And I guess, you know, they kept referring that to them as the Hawks, and which is just also very annoying. And, you know, one time I went to a Seahawks bar in San Francisco and the Rams destroyed them and Todd Gurley had 3 touchdowns. So that, and I mean, that annoyed everyone a lot, but I certainly had a great time there.
Update, Adam Humphries just scored with 23 seconds left on the pass.
Adam Humphries, what? How much was he making?
I don't know, but he's out again. So. Oh, Tannehill's out or Humphries?
Humphries.
Oh, Humphries. I don't know, because it was a big. Hopefully, it was one of the Patriots kind of thing. Anyway, I think the Eagles. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, the Eagles and the Cowboys. I think the Patriots are the most annoying fan base. Sorry, Muff. Oh man, now I have to think about outside the box here. But Eagles are second, I think, to me. Patriots number one. Cowboys, once they start winning again, like really Cowboys, winning again, I think they'll be up there. Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about it. About those fan bases right there.
I think Rams are annoying too in LA. Yeah. They're very annoying.
Are they?
They just come out of the woodwork. Last season, oh my gosh, you couldn't go down the street without seeing Rams swag everywhere. This year, all of it's put away. They could care less. I mean, the team's not making the playoffs, not doing it.
You know, I was all in on that Rams decline. I was just 1 year a little early on that.
How it goes.
Jeff, we were talking about...
So that means the Browns are going to the Super Bowl next year.
Always 1 year away. Jeff, we were talking about injuries earlier with the Eagles and everything. Speaking of injuries, I wanted to go through some kind of over-unders and some player props that people tend to do before the season starts. And I heard on another pod, I'm going to credit Against All Odds on this, they did the research, I just copied them. So they've been saying for years, I really mean it, like at least 2, but probably 3 years, always bet the under on these fun stats, you know, whether it's A.J. Green, 1,100 receiving yards, Julio Jones, 1,500, so on and so forth. They always say bet the under. It's not fun. You never want to watch someone do under. You don't want to bet on a 50-point game and bet under. It's not fun. But it happens. And this season, they looked at 49 over-under bets, varying from passing yards, passing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, rushing yards, etc. And out of the 49, 41 went under. 41. Whew. So if you would have just let it ride, or if you would have put 20, they even use an example, if you just put 20 on each one, you would have come up, you know, whatever, however much money it was, depending on the odds you were getting on those over-unders. And their theory is this, people get hurt. And it doesn't mean, you know, if AJ Green gets hurt, that means Andy Dalton's numbers are going to suffer. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, Devontae Adams' numbers are going to suffer. So it all goes hand in hand. Just because Julio's been healthy all year, if Matt Ryan's been bad, Julio's numbers are going to be down too. So it's definitely interesting theory that's had some weight put on it. And next season, Jeff, you gotta remind me of this, okay? If I start saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers' touchdowns, 33 and a half, he's thrown for over 35 eight times, just be like, well, I love you, but you gotta bet the under. All right? You gotta tell me all these things and remind me for next season. Because, I mean, it's just common sense, really. Even if you got 16 games, you got Lamar, who went over on everything, to be honest. But he's sitting out that last game. You're going to have teams that are so good that they're just not even going to get you that last game of stats. So kind of interesting research that this pod did that we stole from. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's pretty insane. Because what if you did that and you just put like $1,000 and you spread it out a bunch of times? The winning percentage on that is insane. I mean, it'd be interesting to look at year over year how well that's done. I mean, but even if you came out 51% of the time, I mean, you'd be making money. So interesting to think about. Well, interesting.
Yeah, I forget what the numbers were. They said it equates to 82%, but they said something about a couple of the props made it was like 77%, something like that. Because like,
that's still insane.
It was like whether it was a push or whatever. But yeah, like you're talking a 77% success rate on something that's supposedly random or 50-50.
Yeah.
So that's good to know going into next year. And then if you look right under these, I put on three player props that were, you know, whatever, the MVP, the touchdown record, all that stuff. Lamar Jackson was 50-1, and in some places it was 41-1 to win the MVP. I mean, I think last season, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes was very similar. So I think that's just something else that you have to like look into when you're looking for odds. At MVPs, just try to find that guy that kind of had an okay year or has that ceiling that can be the best, even if they're like super raw. I would hate to like kind of throw a name, but I mean, like Josh Allen, like you would think, right? There's no way he's going to be an MVP. No way. But very similar to a Ben Roethlisberger or a Lamar Jackson, where he does a bunch of things kind of, you know, out of script, improv. So another just prop that I'm sure some random ass person cashed in on.
Oh yeah, it's crazy because 50-1 seems low. I think if you look at the lead the league in passing touchdowns, 200-1.
Yeah,
that's probably where I would have thought his MVP odds were. Because I mean, I personally, you know, I have to eat a lot of crow because I was a hater. I was like, this guy can't even pass the ball. He's going to get knocked one time by a linebacker and he's going to be out. I mean, 50-1. I would never place that. I would probably laugh. I'd say it's like a sucker bet, man. Like 200-1. I'm only going there. But I mean, it's just been it's week after week. He's just crushing people's ankles, running the ball, and really not even being like super safe with his body either. But like not necessarily sustaining like huge hits, and just the passing and just the even. With just every week, it would seem like it was someone new. It wasn't necessarily like super consistent, awesome rushing yards and just a couple deep balls. And yeah, I mean, it's been insane. A lot of crow. To see where he's going to go next year, 100%, he will be overdrafted.
Update, Chiefs drove down and Harrison Butker's kick was blocked with 0 seconds left. Couple special teams gaffes for the Chiefs at the end of this game, in the middle of this game as well. Will that come back to haunt them in the postseason? Stay tuned for that. But Lamar, I mean, 200-1 passing touchdowns, that also seems like a sucker bet just because you kind of mentioned, and you know, it was detailed, like, oh, look what the Chargers did in that one playoff game against him. Oh, I mean, he threw 15 touchdown passes or whatever it was last season for most of the season. And you have to also think, okay, that means Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever, needs to also not throw that many either, right? And that's exactly what happened this year. He had, I think, 36. I mean, when's the last time 36 passing touchdowns led the league? 1960? I mean, not that far. The invention of the forward pass? I mean, that's the main reason why it was 200-1, so... I don't think there will be similar bets to that next season. That is going to be seriously like the punter leading. That's insane odds, but that was legit. I looked it up on the internet. It must be true. The last one, Jeff, would have been a real heartbreaker if you had picked Nick Chubb to lead the league in rushing. He was leading the league in rushing as of, I think, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Wait, no, let me retract that. What would it be 3:30 p.m. Pacific? So 6:30 p.m. Eastern, he was leading the league in rushing until the Titans and Texans were kind of duking it out, and Derrick Henry busted like a 50-yard run or whatever it is against the Texans backups, and Derrick Henry ended up winning the rushing title by 6 yards at 14-1 odds. Imagine going to dinner. Or turning on the second games, being like, all right, Nick Chubb cashing out 9-1. Yep. Seeing that happen against the second string Texans. Kind of ridiculous, but you win some, you lose some, Jeff.
We can go in any number of ways with you win some, you lose some. We can talk DFS, Will, or we can get into the old ship.
I mean, just NBA DFS. You got to try it out. It's pretty fun.
Who the problem is, I don't know.
You don't listen. I do the Ashley Sussman strategy, which is sort by
green. You're in.
You got it right there. Green, you're in. Sort by also, average fantasy points per game, and bada bing, bada boom. And who doesn't want to say, they started LeBron James and Giannis or something? It's just kind of exciting to say these big old names and the star power. But yeah, let's these guys need to get their due. We're talking about the two champions in our leagues that we kind of talked about all season. I've been kind of rambling a bit. We had our little playoff predictions, but it's been a couple weeks, Jeff. Start us off with one of the leagues. I'm assuming you probably want to start with the ship, but you pick.
I will start with the ship, the league where I was the consolation bracket champion.
Oh,
I do say so myself. Team showed up in the playoffs, so we needed them. Put up 120 points a week for the old consolation bracket. But let's talk about the big dogs. Coastin versus we kind of knew Coastin would be in the finals. We thought his team was good. He's been riding that Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson stack all the way to the playoffs. And it's been working well for him. And, he put up points. He put up 125 points in the final of the underdog impeached Trump. No one had him. No one thought he was even, going to make it out of that first wild card weekend, much like the Titans. He was going into Foxborough Coastin's territory in the finals. And he put up 143 points. And I was a little shocked at that. I knew he had some big players on his team.
Oh,
he has
huge
Drew Brees. And then he's been, Travis Kelce, but he rode Kenyon Drake. I mean, holy moly, 36.9 points. He had a DK Metcalf score zero. But this is the big thing, Will, which is just the unfortunate kind of lucky, fluky aspect of fantasy. He played the Indianapolis defense going up.
Didn't scroll down.
Against Carolina, 30 points. 30 points for your defense.
If Corey's not on full tilt. If Corey wasn't on full tilt that day.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't scroll down.
I mean, that's so unfortunate. Two return touchdowns.
You didn't even touch on Breshad Perriman. The dude had Breshad Perriman. I listed the four players that he rode to the playoffs. Drew Brees, Kenyon Drake, Breshad Perriman, and Travis Kelce. I mean, something doesn't sit right out of those players. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, you thought once Kenny Golladay kind of got nicked up, but he even had a big game, and he didn't even start him.
He started
DK Metcalf over him. But, I mean, impeach. Yeah, Corey has got to be on full tilt. I mean, his team, he
to win all year,
made the
all
right moves and made the right decisions.
125 and a half PPR. I mean, we'll get to our full point PPR two quarterback league coming up, but both these teams outscored that championship. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
It is. So, Sean Don, congrats.
It's got to be one of the highest scoring finals, I think.
Yeah, we can dive deep into that. We can dive deep into that. And you know, good on Sean because the trolling was far and few between this season, and he...
Oh, it was done. Silence.
Oh, well, once the playoffs rolled around, it was absolutely... I mean, the chat was just empty at all, in all facets to begin with. But congrats, Sean. Congrats on just... I think he's won it before, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And sorry to...
It's been a few years, at least.
...the other people. Raffpool, Jeffrey, we had a one... Was Andrew... No, he was a two-seed. We had a two-seed versus another, I want to say, a four-seed in these playoffs. You did predict Sam to make it there. I predicted Jason. Total's not as high, shockingly, as our half PPR in the ship, Jeff.
Yeah. So Raffpool, Jose won 115 points. He was projected to get 136. Both teams underperformed their projections. He kind of had – Jose had the one quarterback strategy the entire year, and he got Jameis Winston on a four-interception day, but still ended up scoring 15 points for him and pulling out the victory. I mean, McCaffrey in this league with that full PPR is just insane, going in that double 1,000 club for him, 32 points on the week. And he also had Austin Eckler. And that I think that was a really potent combination in PPR in this league. And there's nothing really Sam could do. I mean, he had a big day out of Devontae Adams. He played Jared Cook, who Kostin had on his bench, another tilty moment for him. But I think Sam, maybe, you know, his team was fine. Chris Carson, that whole thing kind of, you know, he went in, got an IR in that game. The New England defense definitely came off their perch and kind of came back to earth a little bit. Julian Edelman was up and down. Leonard Fournette was a, you know, got a ton of share, but didn't necessarily put it up on a week-to-week basis. So Sam's team, pretty consistent talent throughout, no real weak spots, but just didn't have enough in the final game going up against Orange Rush. So, I mean, back-to-back years, Orange Rush champion.
I called it. I mean, I did
what
say.
What do we need to do?
Jose always makes a run. That's what I say. And, oh, are we going to – what do we need to do? What do you mean? What do we need to do?
Well, I just thinking, you know, any rule changes. That we need to. We already know how we feel about the ship. I mean,
I think we just need a long look at the off season. Do our research. I think what we need to do is do some, like, and when I say research, I mean sort out points in, you know, half PPR, full PPR, 0.25 PPR even. I've seen
quarter point.
I've seen some sites, whatever, that do, you know, tight ends get a full point PR, you know, PPR, but wide receivers get a half, and, you know, might have to do that because this Christian McCaffrey and on a lesser extent Austin Eckler movement has been quite a detriment to the PPR scale, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey getting 15 catches for 90 yards, I'm sorry, but that's going to have to stop at some point, so we will – have to take a closer look. And, you know, all things are debatable. Yes.
I think the first thing goes back to an earlier point you said around Lamar winning the passing touchdowns, right? You said it was kind of a it was a historic low. So that kind of fed right into Orange Rush's strategy of not playing two quarterbacks, right? So he, you know, it was kind of a down year on touchdowns for quarterbacks. Therefore, he kind of capitalized where we invested more draft capital in quarterbacks. So next year, maybe it will regress back up and, you know, the average quarterback will throw more touchdowns and it'll be more concentrated. And then, you know, the single regress to the mean. And the second point, the thing that I know I want to do, I just need to be a better commish, is to do either a week to week kind of thing, and also like whoever scores the most points during the week gets some kind of cash payout.
Yeah.
And then also whoever gets last place a cash payout to the winner of the week too. I think something like that, just to make it a little bit more interesting in the loser bracket and make people interested on a week-to-week basis.
To go on that, yep. In one league, I was the highest scorer in the league, so I got my buy-in back.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And then there was also a best record from week 7 to week 13. So even if you finished in last place, but you won, you know, you went 5-1, you know, you still got you got your payout back as well. So you're right, that is, or your buy-in back as well. So that keeps you incentivized to keep on winning. So those are two things we can look at. I like the highest score a week, you know, $10, you know, just to be like, hey, here's something. Congratulations. Even if, well, that means you would win, but you know what I'm saying. That's a little consolation to keep on putting in your best lineup. The thing, last thing we get to before we close out this doozy of an episode is you mentioned the quarterbacks were down, and of course, Orange Rush somehow had the foresight to see that. Another over-under thing that failed, that didn't work this year that I failed to mention was in a given week, you pick four quarterbacks, and all they had to do was throw two touchdowns, right?
But it failed. Them or each?
So each. So each, just over-under 1.5 touchdowns. And you got a choice of, you know, four quarterbacks every single week. It missed like 14 times.
Wow.
Just based on the quarterbacks they gave you. Like, it, you know, it would be like Derek Carr, Jameis Winston. You know, it wouldn't be always Aaron Rodgers. But can't, like, that's like just 1.5 touchdowns was the over-under. And
yeah, that's crazy.
They had to go over. So that's just another stat that again, against all odds. Don't want to take anything away from them. So this was the birthday episode of All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. For me, Tylee, because I'll be turning the most random year ever, 32. I mean, so random, turning 32. Magic Johnson, turning Magic Johnson tomorrow. That's all I got, Jeff. Girthy episode. Might do
some back,
virtual reality. Never know. We're back. Long break.
I mean, this rundown was started December 19th.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Back in 2019.
Behind the curtain. Peek behind the curtain. Let's have a good weekend of NFL playoffs. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for, Jeff. Let's get some parlays in because, again, didn't touch on this, but these Vegas parlays in Martin Luther King weekend. Oh! It is a sight to behold with the sporting events that are going on. 49%, Jeff. I know you have a chance. We'll make it happen. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, that's it. Peace out.
Peace out. Gucci's not finished. Gucci's
going number one.
Ooh, just a big pee for Gucci today.
Staring at me as he does it.
Don't break eye contact.